As I said, we are kicking off a two-week series called Love and Hate. This message that we're doing was something that was first done at Life Church, and so we've taken what they did and we've adapted it for what we are going to do here at Wayne Presbyterian. When we think about God, we like thinking about God who is all-loving. We like to think about God who is all-loving, who is kind, who is gracious, a God who is patient with us. And the love part about God, I think we get, or at least we think we get. We understand that love part about God. But what about hate? What about hate? Is it possible that there's something about us that God hates? The truth is that God loves everybody. God loves everybody. He doesn't always love everything that we do, but God loves everybody. Our Creator loves us. There are things about us that God loves, and believe it or not, there are some things we'll talk about that God hates. So how do we know where the line is between what God loves and what God hates? This is what we're going to explore over the next 2 weeks. Now, knowing that God loves and hates the things that we do should not really surprise us all that much, right? It shouldn't surprise us all that much because all of us have objects, maybe people, experiences, situations that we love and that we hate. If I was to pull the group, just us, not looking outside this room, just looking at this room, if I was to pull this room, we all love and we all hate. Some people love pizza with pineapple and anchovies. And there's some people that it just makes you sick thinking about trying to eat anchovies and pineapple on a pizza. Some people love living outside of New York City with all the hustle and bustle and the city life. And some people like just can't stand it. It's too busy. It's too hectic. Some people love candy corn or corn candy, depending upon how you say it. There's literally Facebook pages and groups designated for people who love corn candy. And there's people who hate candy corn. And there's Facebook groups designated for people who hate this candy with an irrational kind of hate, right? There's people who love the beach and people who hate the sand. Some people love the mall. Other people hate dealing with people. They just want to order on Amazon. Some people love the morning. Other people hate the morning and they cherish the nighttime. The point is we all love and we all hate in this life. And if we are made in God's image, if we are made in God's image, if we are a reflection of our Creator, wouldn't it make sense that strong emotions like the ones we have are found in God? Over the next 2 weeks, we're going to investigate this topic to see what God loves and what God hates. And today we're starting with the topic of love. What does God love? Now, as many of you have heard me say this before, I love the idea of gardening. I love the idea of gardening. But my record as a gardener is not very good. Most of the plants that I come in contact with have more of a dry, decrepit, brownish hue than something like rich and green and full and life-giving. But despite my history, once again, the Cummings family, we're going to be farmers this spring. We love berries in our house. And so we have acquired two berry bushes, one raspberry bush and one blackberry bush. I have a couple of nice pots that I've gotten. I've gone and I've gotten the potting soil. I've read up on how to care for these plants. I know now how to water them, how to prune them, and how to, you know, each one needs sunlight in order to not struggle, and I know what they need. I have the netting, right, to keep the birds out. I've got all these different things to keep the birds out, and the deer. We got a fence that's going to keep the deer out. I'm doing my absolute best to provide a safe and nurturing home for these new berry bushes so they can thrive. Now, do you know in all the literature and everything that I have read, every website I have visited, the people I've talked to about this whole thing we're about to start and do, about raising plants, no one has ever suggested to me in any of the conversations I've had, in anything that I've ever read, that yelling at the plants will make them grow better. No one's ever said that. No one has ever said to me, if you yell at the plants, they will grow better. I don't know a lot about gardening, but I do know this, that being angry with the plants, being angry with them, is not going to help them grow any better. A gardener doesn't yell at a plant to make it grow faster. If anything, the opposite is true. Right? Some farmers will sing to their plants. I've actually seen studies where the farmers have spoken kindly to their plants, and it has actually had a difference, had an impact on their crops. The job of the farmer is to provide rich soil, water, protection for the plant, and wait patiently for that plant to bloom. That's the role, that's the job of the farmer. Now, I share this with you to remind you that when it comes to us, God is not an angry farmer. He is the ultimate good gardener. God's love is the nourishing environment that allows you to grow at your own pace. He's never leaning over us. He's never yelling at us. He's never so angry with us, even when we make mistakes. That's not God. In fact, if you have an image of God as pointing a finger or ever yelling at you and angry with you, when he deals with you, if he ever looks like this, if he withholds from you because you're not growing fast enough, you need a different image of God, because that's not God. God is patient, and God is good. He provides the environment. In fact, God is the environment, which allows for us to grow and to heal and to become the men and the women of God that he wants us to be. And so today we are talking about what God loves, but before I can even answer the question of what God loves, there's something that's so important that we have to first wrap our brains around, and that's this. It's the fact that God is love. Love is who God is. It's not what God does, it's who he is. God is love. This is a hard concept to wrap our brains around. When I say God is love, this is hard for us to get the idea, the essence, the core, the basis of who God is love. It's hard to understand this. I've heard it said this way. Love is the very DNA of who God is. It is the DNA of who God is. Unlike humans, human beings who feel love one moment but don't feel love the next moment, right? God's love doesn't change because God is love. Like I said, this is hard for us to grasp. Our love, my love, your love, is often predicated on how we feel. If we see someone that we like, if someone does something for us that makes us happy, right, we get a feeling of love. Oh, I love that. Thank you for doing that for me. We feel love, but God is love. The Bible tells us that we love because he first loved us. By his example, by what God shows us in his example of who he is, we then can love. In the standard English language, in our language, in our vernacular, we have only one word for love, and we use it for everything. I love my family just as much as I love my lunch. I love my car and I love my job. Right? We have one word for love. But in the Bible, there are four different words for love, and each of them express a different sentiment of love. There is the agape love, which is the sacrificial love. I love so much that I sacrifice. There's the philia love, the brotherly love. There's the storge love, the family love. I love my family. Then there's the eros, my romantic love. We experience all these types of love in our lifetime, and of all the love that we experience, all of that is found in God. Every one of those types of love is found in who God is. So if at any time you look at God, if you are praying, if you are having a hard time, if you are celebrating, doesn't matter, whenever you look at God, if you don't see love, then you're not seeing God clearly. Because God is love. Everyone say that with me. God is love. Let's say it. God is love. God is love. First, we have to wrap our brains around this. This is so important for us to grasp because out of who God is, he then shows us the way to act. Out of who he is, he then can show us how to act lovingly. So now let's move to the question of what does God love about us? What does God love about us? For that, I want to direct us to the Bible, and I want to look at the letter of 1 John chapter 4. And this letter was written by the Apostle John, one of his disciples, as a pastoral letter to the church. John was writing this pastorally to the church. His goal in writing this letter was to encourage the people of God, the church folks who were there, and to make sure that everyone who follows Jesus has a very clear understanding. Exactly, they understand who God is. That was his point. His point was to encourage the church and make sure everybody had a clear understanding of who Jesus is. And so this is what he says in 1 John chapter 4. We're looking at verses 17. Do we just have verse 8? I just have verse 8 here because I want you to focus on it. I'm going to read for you verses 7 through 12 and just leave verse 8 right there. It says this, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God." Where does love come from? Say it with me. From God. From God. "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loves us by sending his Son, his one and only Son, into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And this is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us." What does God love about us? God loves when we love others. When we love others, that's what God loves the most about us. When you and I love another human being, when we're doing what we were made to do, and God is most pleased with us. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. You know, back in the 80s, there was a man named Gary Chapman and another man named Will Trent, and these guys wrote a book. It was one of my favorite books that I've ever read, and it was on this topic of love. And the title of the book is Love is a Decision. Love is a Decision. And essentially, these authors pointed out that love isn't just that fuzzy feeling that you get when you longingly look across the dinner table with the candlelights, and you're so happy to see the person on the other side. That's not what love is. We sometimes feel those emotions, but that's not what love is. Love is a conscious, daily decision that each of us has to make. Love is a conscious, daily decision that each of us has to make. Let's be honest for a second. Growing up in my parents' home and then moving away, moving to college, living with roommates, eventually starting a family, love is not something that I've always felt. And I can guarantee you that in each of those stages of my life, those people haven't necessarily felt lovingly towards me either. It's not something that I've always felt, right? Feelings are like a roller coaster. Feelings go up and they go down. Sometimes you're at the top, and sometimes you're at the bottom, trying not to get sick. If you base your relationships on your mood, if you base your relationships on your mood, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. Love, a true love, is a decision. It's a decision that we make. It's a decision to forgive your parents when they butt into your stuff and they annoy the heck out of you. Love is a decision that you make when you actively are listening to your roommate's problems when you couldn't care less. Love is a decision when your spouse or your child is driving you crazy for you to invest and to lean in and to participate and to help them. Love is not a feeling. It is a yes that you and I say every single morning to choose to honor, respect, care for, appreciate, value, and invest in the relationship outside of yourself. It's a chance for you to honor another human being. To show you what I mean here, I want to share with you an example or an exercise that often I would do if I was doing a wedding. So if you've ever seen a wedding that I have done, you might have seen me do this. But here's what I want to do. I'm going to read for you from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which many have called the love chapter of the Bible. And I want you to swap out your name. I want you to swap out your name where the word love would usually appear. As I read these verses, I want you to think about the actual effort, the choice that you would have to make in order for these words to become true. Everybody understand what we're doing? Not dread. Okay. So for example, Jody is patient. Bob is kind. Cheryl does not envy. Margaret does not boast. Put your names in those places and go down through the list. Think through what would have to happen in order for each of these words to be true. I could read through this entire list, but you guys understand what I'm saying. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not boast. Love keeps no record of wrong. We have to do that. We have to choose to do that. In order for us to exhibit these qualities of God, we have to choose love. And when we love each other, God lives in us. God can be seen through us. God's love is brought to full expression in the world through our love, because God is love. Today's Mother's Day. If you have a chocolate bar, can I, Jessica, ask you to hold it up for a second? Just hold up your chocolate bar, ladies. Moms, grandmoms, women, girls. Okay, we're honoring you today, right? The chocolate bar is our way of honoring you, to celebrate, to take a moment to say, hey, we love you. Thank you for all that you do. We're honoring you. And I want to be clear, as I said in the prayer before, I understand that no mom is perfect, right? If we look back, our moms aren't perfect, but we're not holding up a standard of perfection. You know, families can be challenging. In our history, our families can be challenging. But here's the thing. Motherhood is also a really good example. It's a really good example of what we've been talking about here today. Now, I know I'm a man, not a woman. I've known a few moms in my lifetime, but I'm not a mom. But I do understand this about motherhood. Motherhood isn't always a warm, fuzzy feeling. Can I get an amen? Yeah, I'm seeing some hands. I hear the amen. Okay. It's not always a warm, fuzzy thing. Being a mom is the decision to show up when you're tired. It's to show up when you're tired. It's the decision to listen when all you want to do is sleep. It's the choice to honor your child when his or her actions drive you up a wall. Today we're celebrating moms because moms show us what it's like to say yes, what it says to say yes to love every single morning, to make a decision to honor another human being outside of themselves. We love because God first loved us. Love is who God is. Love is when we make a choice to love someone in the world, a world that is filled with darkness, by the way. A world that is filled with darkness, anger, vengeance. It is everywhere around us. But love is when we choose to love another person, we are being the most like God. When we love, we are being the most like God. And it is the choice that we make, that choice is what God loves the most about us. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for today. We do indeed thank you for all of our moms. We celebrate them in that they have chosen not perfectly, but God, we do pray that they would be inspired and encouraged to continue to love. And God, we pray that all of us would do that, that all of us would make a choice to love you, to love others. God, that you would be honored in the decisions that we make. And Lord, when we would just give pause to some of our actions, that we might pause to think about how we might love another human being, to bring love into that space when sometimes we might bring something else. So God, I thank you for today. I thank you for this series on love and hate, and just ask that you would continue the gift of loving through us. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.